start today. You ready? Let's start today with Colossians 2 and do a review from last week. We just need to go through these scriptures more than once. I'm going to take a little bit of time to do it this morning. Colossians 2, verse 6. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. And we talked last week about that in our union with Him. Complete Jewish Bible says, keep living your life united with Him. That is essential to do all that He's asking us to do in this set of scriptures. Then He goes in verse 7, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Now, King James says abounding in thanksgiving. So He tells us firmly rooted. And that ends up talking about our trust. And I'm not going to go over all these points. You can look down at them. But I just want to say, abounding in something means you've got more than you need. Remember in 2 Corinthians 9:8, it talks about that you may abound in every good work, have fun so that you can do every good work. So this is what we need to be doing in thanksgiving, and the word's clear on it. Verse 8 there, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy, empty deception, traditions, and elementary principles. What did we talk about last week? All these things are things that deal with our mind. And it's just like we were talking before we started teaching today. The devil just tries to get your mind and your focus off of the Lord and the Word to what He's doing. We also said last week that giving of thanks, being partaking in thanksgiving, requires three things. It requires you remember what the Lord has done for you, or for what anybody. I mean, this applies to anybody. It requires you to be grateful for what took place, and it requires that you express it or acknowledge it. We even looked up definitions of some of these words and saw that in the definitions that an act is required. We looked at 1 Corinthians 15, and we looked at several verses. 57 is the one we'll talk about just now. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, the Young's Literal says, who is giving us the victory? And the point we made last week about this is He has given, He is giving, and He will. That verb is in a continuous participle, which means it just keeps on. That's kind of like that Ever Ready battery commercial where it talks about He just keeps on. That's the way His giving is desired to us. But what is this for? How does this verse start? But thanks be to God. Now, if we're thanking Him and He's given us something, then we're thanking Him for what He's given us. If we're thanking Him because He's giving us something or because it's future, then when are we thanking Him? Before we see it with our own eyes. And that is essential. That is what faith is being able to call those things and see those things that be not as though they were. And we talked about it, and I think this is very important too. And I haven't thought about this until I heard this years ago. But I asked the question, is there a midpoint between being unthankful and being thankful? And I think we will see in the scripture there's not. If you are not thankful, you are unthankful. There's no straddling the fence on it. And this is important because a lot of times we think we're thankful. But if we don't express it, if we don't have a gracious attitude toward the one who gave it, then we saw last week that we're not, and what it can do to us. And then we also looked and saw that that if we're unthankful, which means we really don't believe what the promises are before we see them, because we're not in faith, then we saw what in Psalm 78, that we can limit God. And we saw that scripture talking about the children of Israel and how they limited God. And one of the phrases in there says, because they did not remember. So that ties right in with our Thanksgiving. We also looked at Jesus valuing Thanksgiving, looked at a bunch of scriptures about that. And then we looked at Psalm 100. How are we to approach the Lord? We enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise, and we give thanks to Him. Bless His name. So again, giving of thanks is key in how we approach the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16 tells us to approach that throne how? With confidence, with boldness. Same word, confidence, boldness in the Greek language. And so part of approaching that throne with boldness as we enter into the gates and into His courts is what? Not only are we bold, but we can be thankful as well. And so these two are not separate items. We're going to begin to see they go hand in hand. And then we talked about the birth of Samuel and Miss Hannah. And I don't want to you to come away thinking I'm just down on Hannah, because she's done what a lot of us have done. She's got her eyes so much on what she wanted and what she didn't have that she could not appreciate what the Lord had done for her. A good husband, remember that her husband said, "You got a good husband. Why can't you be happy?" And how did that affect her going to the temple, going before the Lord in prayer? There were words that she used about herself, like inconsolable, oppressed in spirit, tormented, miserable, upset. And so we see there the graciousness of the mercy of God shown to her, even though she wasn't exhibiting a thankful heart. Now, let's pick up today. No, I need to back up. I'm going too quick. I want to make a point here. A lot of people say, how do I do this Thanksgiving? How can I always have that attitude? Remember, we're united with the Holy Spirit. John 14, I think it's the sixth verse. It's in your notes. It's John 16, 14th verse. It's talking about what one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is. And what is that job? To glorify Jesus. What is one of the main ways that we glorify Jesus? By giving thanks. So if we have a helper, then I want you to see you got someone living inside you who you can hear, who will remind you to maintain and give thanks and keep this thankful attitude going. So don't look at it as something you just got to work up and keep going yourself. Now, one of the things I wanted to show you today, and we'll see this over and over, but I'll make the point with what we talked about last week pertaining to Hannah, is that we said what the devil's trying to do is to take your eyes off of the Lord, or let me say it a different way, off of the promises that He's given you. Be that He'll provide, be that He'll heal, whatever it is. And in Deuteronomy 7, and would you agree that Hannah was a quote-unquote religious lady? Yeah, very much so. I mean, she thought what she was doing was the right way to do it. But in Deuteronomy 7, the 13th verse, this is what the Lord, how He had blessed in His words over His people, which included Hannah. So this word is her promise. And it says, He will love you and bless you, multiply you. He will bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground. It goes on and talks about grain, new wine, oil. Go down to 14. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall be no male or female barren among you, nor your cattle. So what did she have? She had a promise from God. But what had her, I got to have a child. Like, why don't you give me a child? What have I done? What had that done? It's taken her eyes off of the promise so that there was no thankfulness and faith toward that promise. And so we see that clearly. And it's easy to look back. Now, go to Romans 1. And this is going to be key in everything that we talk about here in the coming weeks. Romans, the first chapter, and we'll start in verse 20. It says, "For since the creation of this world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power," talking about Father God, "and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what's being made, so that people are without excuse." So what's he saying? When you look at creation and all the Lord has done, it's impossible to look at it and not know that there is a higher power that has done this work. It's just impossible. Now look at 21. "For even though they knew God," so this says to me, they recognized at some point that somebody had to create it. "But they did not honor Him as God or give thanks." Now those two are not just separate. If you value somebody, we're going to look at an example in just a moment to see that when you value someone for what and what they have done, you will honor them. And one of the key ways you're going to honor them is by giving thanks to them, by expressing it. So because they did not honor Him or give thanks, look what happened to them. They became futile in their speculations. What does that speculations refer to? Our mind. Remember, we began to talk about that last week. "And their foolish hearts were" what? "Darkened." And here, heart to me means that where life comes from, meaning their spirit man and their soulish realm. Not their brain, but their soulish realm. Their thinking, where reasoning takes place. And that's where life emanates from. So what he's saying here is that being unthankful leads to wrong understanding. And leading to having wrong understanding then leads to what he says about them in 22 through 25. And I'm not going to read all this for time's sake today. Let me just read a couple of key points. 22, "Professing to be wise, they became fools." What does the Psalm say 3 or 4 times? "A fool says this in his heart, there is no God." 23, "They exchange the glory for what they see on this earth." Let's just say creation. And then, 23. And 24, "God let them," gave them over. "Because of their depravity, they gave themselves over." And that's His permissive will on this earth is for us to make that decision. And then look at 25. The net result of all this is they exchanged the truth of God. Let me say that differently. They exchanged the Word of God, or they exchanged Jesus for a lie. So being unthankful has some ramifications. Now, people will say, "Yeah, you're talking about the unrenewed man here." Yes. So I want to ask the question, can these same things apply to a believer who doesn't renew their mind? And the answer is yes. These same things can happen to you and I if we allow them to, and that's where we'll begin to get to next week. Today, I really want to focus on being thankful. Let me just mention, don't turn there. 2 Timothy 3:1 is also a scripture which talks about not being thankful. It's in the last days, the perilous times. It says perilous, it didn't say difficult, it didn't say impossible. And it lists some things that people will be. And one of them is what? Being unthankful, being ungrateful. And if you study that list out, The first four or five things before being unthankful deal solely with your pride. And so what that's saying to me is one of the things that the devil uses to try to keep us from being thankful is our pride, thinking, well, this has happened because of me. Even to the point that we can think, my faith got me this. My faith puts me in a position to receive from him, but my faith don't got me nothing without what the Lord has already provided to us. So today, let's look at a bunch of scriptures affirming what the Word says concerning the importance of thanksgiving. Okay? 2 Corinthians 2. Now, you ready to go on this journey with me? 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. And we want to just see over and over in the Word the importance of thanksgiving. And we're going to see a number of areas that it's tied to. 14, 2 Corinthians 2. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in His triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. That is a mouthful. This is a verse that we need to meditate on and just break it down. So let's do a little bit of that this morning. Thanks be to God. Thank God. What's it telling us? This whole study. Be thankful. Be abounding in that thankfulness. How often? Well, He says He's leading us at all times in victory, so we ought to be thankful in all times for it. Literally, the word there is charis or charis, theos. So it's literally saying, thank God. Then the next phrase, that jumps out at me is, who always leads us in His triumph in Christ. And our general reaction is, well, that don't always happen to me. So I want to ask the question, does that then make the Word invalid? Okay? So we say, no, it doesn't. So it just means there's something we don't know that we need to be doing so that it happens more frequently. And what was the first phrase? Thanks be to God. So we're going to begin to see a tie. The Young's Literal Translation says, and to God are thanks, who at all times is leading us in triumph in the Christ, and the fragrance of His knowledge He is manifesting through us in every place. Now, if He is at all times leading us in triumph in Christ, then what the Lord spoke to me is, are you following? This says He's always leading. So, I have a role in this. We are His sheep. Sheep follow the shepherd. And so we need to make sure we are following. And that there's a whole, you could take off in a whole direction there about talking about being willing and obedient. The Complete Jewish Bible says, who in the Messiah constantly leads us in a triumphal procession. Now, look at this phrase, constantly leads us in a triumphal procession. Does that tell us, even though we may not see what we've been giving thanks for, that we're in this victory parade before we see it? Which says what? Those things that be not, we have to view as though they were. He's leading us in this pursuit of what He's already given and provided, which tells us the battle to get it has already been won. That's His victory. So it's a done deal, even though we may not see it. Now, I think she got one. The second, look at this next verse. I mean, the next phrase. And manifest through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. There's another mouthful. Let me read you the Amplified. And through us. So say with me, through me, God. And then read it. Let me read this to you. Through me, God spreads and makes evidence the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. The English Standard Version says, and through us spreads. What does that sound like to you? It sounds like He's giving us a testimony, doesn't it? To talk about what He's done. And it's a sweet-smelling testimony. And yet we would look at this scripture and say, God leads me in this victory parade because there's something I need. But what do we see? Yes, that's true. It's something we need. We're in that victory parade. We're receiving it. But we are blessed to be a blessing. And how are we being a blessing when we walk in His victory with Him? We're being a testimony of the knowledge of God to everybody who sees us walk in that victory. In other words, you are being a witness. Everywhere we go in a day, we should be a sweet-smelling aroma for Him. Now, don't judge me when I say this. And don't ask, am I this way all the time? Because you know the answer. This says to me, every day ought to be a good day. We ought to never say, I'm having a down day. Why? Because He's leading me in a triumphal procession that tells others about His goodness. And it's a sweet smell for them as well as for me. Selah. The Weymouth New Testament simply says, and by His hand, by our hands waves in every place that sweet incense, the knowledge of Him. Now let me read you the Message for this verse. It says, and I got it. Thank God. What has He got? The victory that He needs. That's what is being said here. And I got it. Thank God. In the Messiah, in Christ, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. Through us, He brings knowledge of Christ. Through us, He brings knowledge of Christ. Everywhere we go, people breathe in the exquisite fragrance. Folks, that's our encouragement for today. That is our big takeaway today. We don't have to have down days. And what do we see? It all begins with thanksgiving. Now, look at Philippians 4:18, because I want to talk about this fragrance. Now, this is interesting that this verse is here, and we'll mention it in just a moment again. It says, but I've received, verse 18 of Philippians 4, but I've received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you sent. Now, what does this tell us then? That when we are good to others, when we are used by the Lord to bless others, we're walking in a what? Victory parade that produces a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Well-pleasing to God. In John 12, third verse, you don't have to turn there, but Mary and Martha's Lazarus had just been raised up, and they're having a meal, and Mary comes in with a pound of pure nard, which is a costly perfume. And she takes it and she breaks it and she wipes the feet of Jesus with oil. What is that an act of? What is it an expression of? Thanksgiving. Why did she do that? Because she valued Jesus. One of the tests that I think we're going to see is, when I give thanks, I'm expressing to an individual, if I'm doing it person to person, the fact that I value him or her. No value, no gratitude. So we're just getting clues of things we need to look at. Now we're right there in Philippians 4, that's why I said don't turn. So go back and look at verses 6 and 7. And I really could have put this a little later, but we'll talk at it now so we don't have to go back and forth. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Why? Because I'm walking in a constant victory parade. But in everything, not for everything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. So we know we have not because we ask not. Let your request be made known to God, it'll end up saying. And what's in the middle of that? Thanksgiving. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. So, does this give us a direct clue of the attitude we have when we enter into His gates to go before Him with a request? We're going thankful when we start with it. When we start with it. Now, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Do you think, well, let me ask it this question. Don't raise your hands. In prayer before God, how many of us have ever made a lot of prayer and a lot of supplication and we had no peace? Do you reckon that in making prayer and supplication for something that we really need, that there's a link between giving thanks and peace coming? Because you see, that's in between there. And that peace is coming. You remember the definition for peace in Isaiah 32:17? Rest or quietness and confident trust. So confident trust is being expressed by what? You're giving thanks for what you've just asked for. That He said, all the promises in Him are yes and amen. I've given you all things pertaining to life and godliness. So we just want to see that tie-in there. There is a relationship between praying and thanksgiving. And when we do those things together, manifestations will come. It produces manifestations. We're going to look at that next. Just look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Part of the reason we can rejoice is because we're confident in trust and we can give thanks. So again, tied it all together. Now, let's go to Old Testament. Let's look at Psalms. And I want to look at the tie between giving thanks and manifestations. Psalm 107. The link between giving thanks and manifestations. 107. And I'm going to read through these fairly quickly. You can go back and study them. You've got them all in your notes. Start with verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. How does the redeemed of the Lord supposed to say so? By giving thanks. That's how we express it. That's how we declare who we are, the redeemed, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. Now, look in verses 4-6, and I'll set the tone of what we're going to talk about here with this one. They wandered in the wilderness. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted from within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. What did this sequence start with? Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Things come against you. And because you gave thanks to begin with, what happened when you cry? What happens when you cry out? He hears and he delivers. Let's see this over and over. Verse 8. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the Son of Man. Verses 13 and 14. Then they cried, and in between there, you can read later all the things that were happening to them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he did what? Save them out of their distresses. Now, quite often when we read that, the focus is on, and they cried out to him in their trouble. But the solution to the problem came when? When they gave thanks. Okay? Look at verse 15. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Look at verse 19. Then 17 and 18 talks about things that happened. 19. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of his distresses. Now let's read verse 22. And he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So we're seeing this 1, 2, 3 times. Verse 21. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness. Why are they giving thanks? Because they've been delivered again. And for his wonders to the Son of Man. 22. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing. Remembering, expressing it, talking about it, testimony. And then you get into 23 and down to through 27. 27 just says, they reeled and staggered like drunk men. They were at their wits' end. Look at 28. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. He caused the storm to be still so that the waves of the sea were hushed, and they were glad because they were quiet, talking about the seas. So he guided them to their desired haven. 4. There's 4 cases. Look at verse 31. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Verse 32. Let them extol in the congregation of the people. Extol him. What are they doing when they're extolling him? They're giving thanks. They're magnifying him because of what he's done for them. They're expressing thanksgiving. And praise him at the elders. And then starting in 33, it just gets better and better. He changes rivers into wilderness, springs into water of thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness, wilderness into a pool of water in 35, and a dry land in the spring. There he makes the hungry to dwell so that he may establish an inhabited city and sow fields and plant vineyards and do what? Gather a fruitful harvest. He blesses them, multiplies them greatly. He does not let their cattle decrease. And it goes on and on and on. And I want you to conclude today by looking at verse 43 with this. Who is wise? Let them give heed to these things and consider the loving kindness of the Lord. Now, how are we considering the loving kindness of the Lord? By our giving thanks. This is a strong, strong psalm. Look at 1 Chronicles 16. We'll look at a couple more examples here. 1 Chronicles 16, 1-4. David brought the ark back, and he brought in the ark of God and placed it inside the temple, the tent which he had pitched for it, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And when David had finished the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Now, remember that word of what he did. He blessed the people. And he distributed to everyone, both man and women, a loaf of bread and a portion of meat and a raisin cake. Verse 4, and he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark. Now, what was the duty of the Levites? Priestly duties. Okay? So, to minister to God and to minister God to the people. And what did he tell them to do? To ministers before the ark of the Lord, even to celebrate and to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel. So he's told the priest, whose job it is to minister to the Lord and minister to people, minister God to the people. He's told the priest, give thanks. True? Now, don't forget what the job of a priest is. Look at verse 7. Then that day, David first assigned Asaph and his sons to give thanks to the Lord. And he told them, in verse 7. And then in verse 8, he said, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Are they remembering? Are they grateful? Are they expressing that gratitude? Okay. 34. Let him close by saying, he closes this by saying, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, amen, which means so be it, and they praised the Lord. So he left Asaph and his relatives there before the ark of the covenant to minister before the Lord continually, as every day's work required. And how did they minister before the Lord continually? By giving thanks and giving praise. Now, as they gave thanks to the Lord, as they ministered to the Lord giving thanks, can we see that they are in that respect also ministering to the people? Because they are telling the people, so that they can come to the knowledge of the sweet fragrance. You see that relationship between that then? So when we minister to the Lord, we're also putting ourselves in a position to minister to people and do what the priestly role that we've been called to do is. If you think about this, Thanksgiving, we're beginning to see, is a spiritual force which brings power on the scene. That's what we said. It brings a manifestation of God on the scene. There's no better example I know than 2 Chronicles 20, when Jehoshaphat put the praisers out before. And what did he tell them to do? If you look at it, is one of the things, key things he said was, give thanks. And what happened? The enemies killed each other, and it took them 3 days to gather all the spoils. Having an attitude of thanksgiving produces a manifestation of the power of God on the scene. So let's go now and take this back to our prayer life. Colossians 4:2. Colossians 4:2. We kind of started this link with prayer, Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8. We've seen that prayer and adoration and thanksgiving produces. And what does it say here? Devote yourselves to prayer. King James says, continue in prayer. So it's telling us, fellowshipping with God, praying, which occasionally ought to include some asking. He's telling us to continue in it, to do it. Then he says, in New American Standard reads this way, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. King James says, watch in the same. Okay, let's talk about that. Watch. What does watch mean? It means to give attention to be diligent, to be alert. That's what the word in the Greek means. But it says, watch in the same. Watch in the same what? So, well, it's a backward reference to continuing in prayer. So when it's saying continuing in prayer, be alert, stay attuned to God, how? What is the next phrase? With thanksgiving. So do we begin to see then it is thanksgiving that which enables us to continue our focus and our attitude to persevere in prayer? How often do we start praying about something and we pray about the problem? Lord, you know this, and you know this, and you know this, and you know this. Well, I'm just going to tell you, for me personally, when I do that, there's a weariness that comes with prayer quickly. This verse is telling us how to avoid that weariness. This verse is telling us how to persevere. And how do we do it? Because we're giving what? Thanks. The WEAST translation says, or WUST, I guess, is, I looked it up and found a German word, WUST, W-E-U-S-T, and it's pronounced WUST, so I'll say that. Says, be giving constant attention to prayer. We saw that. Constantly vigilant in it, in the prayer, with thanksgiving. So this tells us that in all our praying, we ought to have the same amount, and I would add, or more, of thanksgiving that we do requesting. Now, thanksgiving is a productive force. It manifests in the physical. We're giving thanks to it before we see it. Now, think about this in the context of praying for our nation. Go to 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter. I told you we would get back to it. 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter. We read this verse, and we read it like there's a period after the first verse. First of all, in other words, most importantly, I urge that entreaties, supplications, and prayers, petitions, be made on behalf of all men. Now, I left out something, didn't I? First of all, I urge that supplications and prayers, petitions, and what? Thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. And then it talks about for kings and all those who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Now, I want to ask the question, if I'm giving thanks when I'm praying for the leadership in my country so that I can lead a quiet and tranquil life, if I'm doing it without thanksgiving, what am I doing? I'm probably praying about all the things they're doing wrong and focusing on all the ills. If I'm praying with thanksgiving, that means what? That I believe my prayers are going to produce fruit. And I'm thankful about them. And then I'm praying the promises that he's given us. Like in Deuteronomy, where he says, the sword won't come through my land. But you see what the devil gets us to doing. He gets us to looking at all the craziness that's going on in Washington. And we end up thinking, God ain't got his hand on this. Or we end up thinking just judgment, 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 instead of the promises, because we're not praying in faith about our nation. That applies to praying for lost relatives, for our provision, for sicknesses and health. It applies in every category. Too often we end up, God, you gotta, when He says, I already promised it, I already gave you the promise. It's a victory parade. Let me know what you need. Why are we letting Him know what we need? Because we're speaking it, and that's how things come. That's part of our action. And then when we give thanks, what are we doing? We're saying, I got it. So even in praying for our nation, it's got to be in faith. Colossians 3:16. I don't know about you, but this just, as I went through this, putting this together, I guess last Friday or Saturday, I don't remember which day, it just grew. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell richly within you, with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with songs, psalms, and hymns, and spiritual songs. And then it adds the phrase, singing with what? Thankfulness in your hearts to God. This says to me, when the Word of God dwells richly in me, I can, let me go back and look at it so I don't miss the T. I can teach. I can admonish. I would add encourage one of you, and you do the same for others, if I'm doing it with what? An attitude of thanksgiving. There's a lot of admonishing that goes on. There's a lot of instruction that is put forth that doesn't bear any fruit. Why? Because if it's not done with thanksgiving, it's unthankful. And what did we see? Well, we really didn't look at that verse. In 2 Timothy 3, I told you that the five things listed before, ungrateful, all deal with what? Pride. Which means I'm teaching you out of my pride instead out of being thankful. I'm teaching you because I think I know more than you do, versus being thankful for what God is sharing through me so it can bless you. I just want us to see. Let me read you a couple other translations. Let the word spoken by Christ the Messiah have its home in your hearts and minds. This is amplified, as you can probably tell. And dwell in you in all its richness as you teach, admonish, and train one another in all insights and intelligence and wisdom, in spiritual things as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to God with His grace, thankfulness, in your hearts. Complete Jewish ends by saying, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts. That to me is spirit worship. Now, look at the next verse. Look at 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to the Father. Whatever you do in word, express gratitude. Whatever you do in deed. Scripture also tells us, do everything we do is unto the Lord. So that, what does that say about your work? Or most, many of us are not working now. But what does it say about our work? We're to do it. We're to work and be on our job. If we're doing it unto the Lord, doing it unto God, with what? Thanksgiving. Well, I can tell you, there's a lot of days I went to work and there wasn't no thanksgiving flowing from my heart. But if it had, then what would I have been doing? I would have been giving a testimony to God that, hey, it's a great day. Another great day in the kingdom of God, even though it looks like it's a sorry day here at work. I'm manifesting that sweet savor. Verse 15, Go back to 15. I want you to see what precedes this. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. So here again, this link between peace and thankfulness. And I want you to just notice 15, 16, 17, the concept of giving thanks is in each one of them. Let's skip, and I'll pick up and do this next week, the 1 Thessalonians 5 scripture, because I want to close with this next one, and we're right at the end. A thankful heart, expressing thanksgiving for all to see, is His will for you and I. And be going to John 6. It's a force that can produce manifestations for us. And I want to give you this illustration. And Miss Brenda, I told you you would hear this the other day after we heard it somewhere else. In John 6, 23, Jesus had fed a bunch of folks. He told the disciples to go over. They fought the storm. He got in the boat with them, and instantly they were on the other side. And that's where we're picking up here in 23. 22 says the other boats that day saw there was no small boat there except one, talking about Jesus. There came other small boats from Tiberias near the place. Now I want you to look at how this event in this place is referred to. Near the place where they ate bread, where Jesus just fed them, after the Lord had given thanks. He doesn't talk about, he doesn't use the words here. They're talking about the place where Jesus fed them and worked the miracles. This place, this event is known by the place which Jesus gave thanks. So let's go back and look in Mark 6th chapter at what happened. Now, you can read this from 30 through 44. But you know, the people are out there. They're saying it's late. We've shared this very same thing with you before, but we didn't do it in terms of the Thanksgiving, which is why I wanted to bring it back. And the disciples came very nobly saying, Jesus, it's late. Why don't you send them away so they can get something to eat? And Jesus said, you feed them. And they said, we ain't got nothing. What are we going to do? And then it talks about the fact that they talked about how much money it would take. And he said, how many loaves do you have? Now, notice this next phrase. How many loaves do you have? Go look. So he told them, don't just accept that you don't have anything. Go find out how many we really have. In other words, when Jesus gives you something to do, there is something that He's already provided for you to be able to go do it if you'll look for it. You see that? That's worth coming for today if you don't get nothing else. Go look. So then he takes them and he breaks them down and says, I want you to sit down like this. It's a grassy field. And he put them in different groups. And then in verse 41, which is the verse I'll read, says he took the five loaves and fishes. They came back with that. And looking up to heaven. And I believe when the word talks about Jesus looking up to heaven, he's just not looking to the sky. I think when Psalms talks about look to the hills from which comes our help, he don't mean just look at the hills. He's talking about looking with your spiritual eyes. See the kingdom of God. See what's in that kingdom available for you. He looked up toward heaven and he said he blessed the food and he broke the loaves and fishes and he kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. And he divided the two fish among them all. And then 44 tells us 5,000. Now, what did Jesus first tell the disciples? You feed them. And then he blessed the bread. How did he bless the bread? I think he did it by expressing grace charis, which is what? Giving thanks. He gave that. Now 5,000 people plus women and children, big group. No way late in the day. There's two late in the days referred to in Scripture. One starts at 3 and the other starts at 6. So this is between last couple of hours of the afternoon. They broke bread. Jesus gave it to the disciples, and the disciples took it and distributed it to the people. In whose hands do you think it was multiplied? Jesus' hands? The disciples' hands? And how is a disciple going to give enough bread to one person so he can distribute it to 50 people? I'm not going to be surprised if it didn't multiply in the hands of the individuals as well. I can't tell you that because the Scripture doesn't say it. But if you figure out how much time it would take for me and Charles to serve, let's see, 1/6 of 20 is about 3,000 people, and go to each person and give them some bread, we ain't going to do it in 3 hours. And what did this do? Remember what we just read in 6:23? They went to the place. They were coming from the place where he had fed them, where he gave thanks. This thanksgiving produced a testimony. Isn't that what we said earlier when we first started today? That it produces a testimony, a memorial to knowing Jesus, if I can use that term, a memorial. His giving thanks produced a memorial event where people gained in the knowledge of God. And I, it's just the way my mind works, or the way the Lord drops things in me. When I read that, I thought it was a sweet aroma. And my next thought went to when BJ used to bake bread all the time. There's not much that smells much better. That was a really sweet aroma when she was baking bread. And to God our thanks, who at all times is leading us in triumph in the Christ and the fragrance of his knowledge, he is manifesting through us in every place. Amen. Comments? Questions? Sorry it took us a few more minutes to get through it today, but I trust it was worth it. And so we've got a groundwork set. We know that it's important. Next, we want to start looking at the tricks of the devil, at his wiles, as Ephesians 6 talks about. So we'll learn, and I've already told you the answer to this when we studied our spiritual weapons. We want to look at the one road he takes to try to get you away from thankfulness, and it all deals with your mind. So we'll look at examples of several different kinds as we go through this, including one with Jesus himself, probably 2 weeks from now.